Hey everybody, it's Devin. You are listening to The Field Guide of Wonder. Okay, let's talk about an animal that has somehow become the internet's unofficial mascot for just chill vibes. You've seen them in memes, probably lounging around in the water, maybe they have a bird on their head, maybe they're surrounded by caimans and completely unbothered by that fact. It's the capybara, Hydrochorus hydrocharis. Here's the thing, capybaras are so much more than these living bean bags with good vibes. They're brilliant little evolutionary packages designed for survival in one of the most dynamic ecosystems on the planet. And the deeper you look, the more it becomes clear that they're the perfect example of how adaptation, social behavior, and even poop eating all come together in a way that, like, makes sense. Let's start with the basics. Capybaras are the largest rodents in the world. Think guinea pig, but scaled up to the size of a medium dog. I don't know, something like a golden doodle. They're found across most of South America in wetlands, grasslands, forests, basically anywhere that has good plant cover and a body of water. And that body of water part is essential because it's not just like a nice to have sort of thing. Capybaras are semi-aquatic, meaning their whole body plan is tuned to an amphibious sort of life, split between land and water. They have partially webbed feet that help them paddle. Their eyes and nostrils are set high up so they can breathe and keep watch while the rest of them stays underwater, sort of like a hippo. They can hold their breath for like 5 minutes long, so if they need to hide, they certainly can. And you might be wondering, like, they're pretty, edible looking. Is that weird to say? Do they get eaten constantly? They're just so chill, like you would think, like, easy pickings, right? Well, there's the water escape thing, but the other part is, like, they're never really alone. Capybaras live in social groups, sometimes 10 to 20 individuals. I mean, during the dry season, it can be up to 100 when the water is scarce, and so they all cluster up. Think like the watering hole on Lion King. These groups aren't just, like, a hangout. They're the survival network. More eyes means more to watch for danger. More ears means more to hear trouble. And yes, they also have built-in babysitting. Female capybaras nurse each other's young. Sometimes, actually, they've been observed to babysit things in other species, which is strange. Anyway, it's called alloparenting. It's not just like a cutesy thing. It's like a major evolutionary win. If your group's baby survives, your genes survive, and if your genes survive, your species survives. It's like, even if you don't personally give birth or not, you win. It's a win-win situation. And speaking of survival wins, we have to talk about their poop eating, because it's a thing. See, they eat grass. Grass is tough. It's got cellulose walls that are hard to break down. So they have this thing inside. It's called an enlarged cecum. It's a fermentation chamber in their gut. It has all these microbes in it that can help to break the cellulose down and stuff. And that's awesome, but it's also not like 100% efficient the first time through. Capybaras do what a lot of rodents and rabbits do. They produce two kinds of poop. So the first kind are hard pellets that you would think of as like the regular poop. And then there's the softer, nutrient-rich pellets that they immediately re-eat, usually first thing in the morning. So like first breakfast poop. It's called coprophagy, and it means that they're getting a second pass at the nutrients that would otherwise be lost. So it's like a slow release pill. Oh God. Sometimes I say things and I'm just like, yuck. One thing I think is really cool. You don't get this right from pictures of capybaras, which are silent and unmoving. Capybaras are actually really vocal. Like, they've got a whole range of communication methods. They whistle, they bark, they purr. They click, they grind their teeth together, and each sound has a context. Sometimes it's an alarm, or a reunion call, or like a, hey, I'm over here. They are communicating constantly in a language that we're only starting to decode. But here's maybe like the biggest thing that I love about them, is that they're not just like part of their own story. They're not these things that just exist in isolation. They're ecosystem engineers. By grazing, they help shape plant communities around wetlands. By being prey, they support predators like anacondas and jaguars. And because they are so chill, so tolerant of other species, like peace as a survival mechanism, you'll often see birds, turtles, even monkeys using them as like living basking platforms. They're just this embodiment that, like, sometimes the best way forward, the best way to survive, the best way to persevere through challenge is to just vibe it out. Like, aside from being internet serotonin, they're this reminder that you can be social and self-sufficient. You can be calm, but always paying attention. You can be soft-looking, but incredibly well-adapted. They're a masterclass in surviving by fitting with your environment, not dominating it. And maybe that's the wonder here. Evolution gave us this giant semi-aquatic rodent that babysits, recycles its food, and lives in peaceful coexistence with basically everything. In a world that sometimes feels like the opposite. Okay, always feels like the opposite. Maybe that's the exact kind of role model we need. If you want to keep wandering through this field guide with me, you can subscribe to the show. You can follow along on socials at Devin the Nature Guy. You can join my Patreon, patreon.com/thewildlife, to help keep these stories going. Because wonder leads to learning, learning leads to care, and care is how we make a difference. Thank you all for listening, and until next time, I hope your life is as chill as a capybara's.